41 degrees on Friends Plaza at 8:50, and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its November crop production and WASDE reports. The numbers look like this for crop production for corn, 13.168 billion bushels on a yield of 153. Soybeans, 2.594 billion bushels on a yield of 41.3. Ending stock report also in for November, the estimate for corn at 1.897 billion bushels. Soybeans at 210 million bushels, and wheat at 312 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications for those numbers on the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. Joining us now, though, in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Olthoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much. Well, in Brazil, scattered showers and thunderstorms occurred at about 75% of the nation on Thursday and early this morning. Rainfall totals as of early this morning range from a few hundreds of an inch to 0.6 inch, with local totals up to 1.3 inches. Rio Grande do Sul was likely receiving some rain also this morning, but it had been dry most of the day Thursday. High temperatures were in the 70s in the southern areas to the low 80s and lower 90s in most other areas. Some hotter readings in the middle and upper 90s to around 100 degrees occurred across the north. No big changes. The forecast for Brazil are noted now. Most of the nation gets rain at one time or another over the next couple of weeks, and sufficient amounts are likely to maintain a good outlook for crop development. Some heavy rain will occur in southern parts of the nation this weekend. Rain will interfere with planting periodically, but Brazilian farmers are pretty resilient in getting their crops in the ground, even though the weather is not ideal. Temperatures will turn briefly cooler late this weekend and early next week in far southern Brazil. While little changes occur elsewhere, highs through the weekend will be in the 80s and lower 90s, except a few areas of locally heavy rainfall where highs may be limited to the 70s. Early week highs in the 70s south and 80s lower 90s across the north. A seasonal range of temperatures with slight cool bias south and warmer bias north will occur late next week and into the following weekend. In Argentina, showers and thunderstorms occurred in about half Argentina's crop country Thursday and early this morning. Rainfall totals reached 1.1 inches at Santa Rosa, La Pampa had 0.68 inches. Elsewhere, rain amounts were rather light, staying under a half inch. Precipitation was concentrated in western Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and from Anche Rios to northern Santa Fe and Chaco. No significant changes occurred in the first 10 days of our outlook. Oil coverage was increased slightly for rain early next week, and a decrease in rain coverage was made from about the November 18th to 19th period. A new storm system during the week of Thanksgiving will produce sufficient moisture in much of the nation to maintain favorable planting and crop development potential. There was little reason for concern over crop or field conditions during the next couple of weeks, although there are some pockets of dryness, especially in the west and south. Temperatures will be cooler than usual during the coming week, but no well-developed surface high pressure system evolves to raise a threat to crops. Lows will dip to the 40s and a few upper 30s during the weekend and early next week, but no frost is likely. Highs will be coolest this weekend and Monday when highs are in the 60s and 70s, and they'll warm to 70s and 80s over the north. The cooler bias will last through mid next week, and warming is predicted for late next week and the following weekend, with the warmer than usual temperatures likely during the week of Thanksgiving. In the U.S., no meaningful precipitation fell Midwest Thursday or early this morning. Generally, over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be fairly quiet, especially from this weekend through next week. We'll just see little storm systems moving in from time to time with mostly liquid-type precipitation. That's your growing area's weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
In the Thursday overnight trading session at the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 7.62 1/2, up a half. Last trade down 2 1/2. July, 6.80 down 1 1/4. Last trade up a half. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December corn opened at 3.88 3/4, down 3/4. Last trade down 2 in July at 4.24, down 1 3/4. Last trade down 2 1/2. November beans opened at 10.27, down 1. Last trade up 2. July, 10.61 1/2, down 1. Last trade up 1 1/2. December soybean meal opened at 278.50, up 10. Last trade up 110. December soybean oil opened at 44.15, unchanged. Last trade up 1. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
As I looked at the report this morning, there weren't really a lot of surprises on it, certainly not the surprises that we were seeing in previous reports, especially that October one.
Oh, very true. I guess probably the biggest surprise on the report maybe is the fact that the bean yield actually dropped when there was an expectation that it was going to go up. But otherwise, it certainly followed right in line with what the trade was expecting. I think we had a pretty good drop on the world carryout numbers as far as the beans go, too. So I looked at the report as being, I guess I sometimes call it a non-event report because of the fact that most of this has been into the market already. If you look at, corn's up 15.3% just since October 8th, we picked up that much on corn, 7.4% on beans. A lot of that is in anticipation. You know, the word was out there already.
I suppose if there is one thing that I would keep an eye on today is the wheat, and not so much because of the numbers, although they are bearish, but because where we are on the charts, we're at a kind of a technical critical point at the 100-day moving average.
Oh, there's no question about that. We have extremely strong resistance when you look at new crop wheat at that 697, and 715 being real, real major resistance. And so I think what you saw yesterday, the pullback on the wheat, was a reaction to the fact that the exports weren't, I shouldn't even say weren't good, they were terrible. And I believe that's because we did a lot of front loading on the exports already. So I think that in general, we see French wheat down strong today, 25 cents. I would expect to see wheat come under pressure just because of that. Since in that same time period, since the beginning of October, we've lost 9.1% on the wheat price, and the French have lost 3.5%. So we still are on the side where it favors us from a standpoint that the U.S. dollar is down 4% in that same period. So the exports are still in our favor, but at the same time, I'm sure the trade is looking at the expansion of acres, in the entire world for wheat.
So what are producers to do with these numbers? We note that the cash index has firmed since early October.
Well, there's no question about that. The cash index at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, I think, is a great viable alternative, and we have to really start to use it and at least be following it. When I looked in that same time period from October 8th, if you had sold November beans on October 8th, November futures have gone up 78 cents since then, and you had bought the cash index on that same day, the cash index has actually gone up $1.25. Now, the cash index is a reflection not of just your local basis. It's an average basis for the U.S. And you look at the same situation with corn. You just sold corn on October 8th. Futures now are up 45 cents, and the cash index is up 59 cents. So I think it's a great alternative for our clients to be able to be confident about taking cash and still being able to have a position that gives them a benefit if we see an improvement in the basis across the U.S.
I suppose as we delve into this report and begin to look at how USDA arrived at its numbers, of course, the corn is 153 on a national basis. But where did the reduction come from? Well, it didn't come from those fringe states, did it?
No, not at all. And when you look at Illinois, they kept the same. But the significant drop was in Iowa, went from 180 to 175, Minnesota 156 to 151, Nebraska 168 to 162. And I think when you look at the big picture, this just says, yes, we have tremendous hybrids, but they can't handle the extreme heat in the pollination period either. And it's very hard on the part of the USDA to really judge until we actually get the real numbers coming in.
We've had quite a little bit of a rally across the grain picks, primarily due to influences of outside markets. Does that continue?
I think so. When you look at the U.S. dollar basically doesn't appear to have a lot of desire to strengthen. The Chinese have been moving money out of our treasury bonds, and therefore that's putting some pressure on this. And, of course, we keep hearing more about the subprime situation. I guess we have to keep things in perspective, though. Like on the Dow is down 2.9% since the beginning of October. That's 394 points. And yet if we had a Dow at 10,000, that would only be 290 points. So, just like in the grains, we have to expect the ranges to be bigger because the prices are higher.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and get your calls for today.
Well, at this point in time, just like the report, the calls aren't very exciting. We look at the corn and beans possibly to be up 3 to 5. We look at wheat to be, I'd have to say, you know, it's called steady to mix, but my thoughts are basically that we're going to find ourselves, you know, pulling back more, you know, add-ons to the losses from yesterday. And when we look at the live cattle, I'm seeing live cattle basically pretty firm on expected cash sales and hogs mixed.
Thank you much, Jackie.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.